It's the Good Day Health Podcast with Dr. Jack Stockwell, sponsored in part by Calitrin, the safe, proven way to lose weight and keep it off, and brought to you also by Prevagen, really good for your mind.
I have talked about various dietary things to consider, especially when we are loading ourselves up with all the sweets that are associated with the holidays. And I thought I would give you something I borrowed from Nancy Appleton, who's a PhD. Her list of 124 ways that sugar ruins your health. Now, you have heard that sugar suppresses the body's immune system. I've talked about that, a test that can be done to test the strength and resilience of your white blood cells in their ability to fight bacteria in the presence of sugar in the blood. You've heard about how it can interfere with your absorption of calcium, how it can cause food allergies, depression, how it can lead to cancer of the breast, the ovaries, the prostate. How sugar can reduce the good cholesterol in your blood, your blood. Let me say it again. Or that sugar can reduce the good cholesterol in your blood and increase the triglycerides. And I've explained why that happens in previous podcasts, and which are, of course, two of the strongest indicators we have of heart disease. And despite all the massive commercial campaigning that goes on to paint refined sugar as harmless, or at worst, just empty calories, there are hordes of scientific evidence that indicate that it's far worse than that. So I'm going to give you this list. And at the end of this list of 124 that I'm going to try to cram into the show, I have 124 sources for all of this in published medical research documents. And all of this is available to you if you want more information on that. If you would just go to orders@forbiddendoctor.com and tell them you want Dr. Jack's list of sugar problems. Okay, let's get this going because we got 124 of them. First of all, sugar can suppress the immune system. Now, everything I say here has medical research behind it, and that's what I'm offering to you if you want to ask my clinic to get it. So again, sugar can suppress the immune system. Sugar upsets the mineral relationships in the body. Sugar can cause hyperactivity, anxiety, difficulty concentrating, crankiness in children. Sugar can produce a significant rise in triglycerides. Sugar contributes to the reduction in the defense against bacterial infections. Sugar causes a loss of tissue elasticity and function. In other words, the more sugar you eat, the more elasticity and function you lose. Or in other words, the tighter your joints can become. Sugar reduces high-density lipoproteins. Sugar leads to chromium deficiencies. Sugar leads to cancer of the breast, the ovaries, the prostate, the rectum. Sugar can increase fasting levels of glucose. Sugar causes copper deficiency. Sugar can interfere with the absorption of calcium and magnesium. Sugar can weaken eyesight. Sugar raises the level of neurotransmitters, dopamine, serotonin, and norepinephrine. Sugar can cause hypoglycemia. Sugar can produce an acidic digestive tract. Sugar can cause a rapid rise of adrenaline levels in children. Sugar malabsorption is frequent in patients with functional bowel disease. Sugar can cause premature aging. It can lead to alcoholism. It can cause tooth decay. It contributes to obesity. High sugar intake increases the risk of Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis. Sugar can cause changes frequently found in persons with gastric or duodenal ulcers. Sugar can cause arthritis. It can cause asthma. Sugar greatly assists the uncontrolled growth of Candida albicans. Sugar can cause gallstones. It can cause heart disease. It can cause appendicitis. It can cause multiple sclerosis. It can cause hemorrhoids. It can cause varicose veins. It can elevate glucose and insulin responses to oral contraceptive users. It can lead to periodontal disease. It can contribute to osteoporosis. It contributes to saliva acidity. It can cause a decrease in insulin sensitivity. Sugar can lower the amount of vitamin E in the blood. It can decrease growth hormone. It can increase cholesterol. Sugar can increase the systolic blood pressure. That's the high number. Sugar can cause drowsiness and decreased activity in children. High sugar intake increases advanced glycation end products, what are known as AGEs. In other words, sugar that's bound non-enzymatically to protein, which in other words, it makes it much more difficult for your body to process proteins. Sugar can interfere with the absorption of protein. It can cause food allergies. It can contribute to diabetes. Sugar can cause toxemia during pregnancy. Sugar can contribute to eczema in children. Sugar can cause cardiovascular disease. And again, I want to point out every single point that I'm making here regarding sugar has medical research behind it. And if you want to contact my office, orders at forbiddendoctor.com, just it's an email, and say, I heard Dr. Jack on the Good Day Health Show, and he's offered this list of detriments from sugar intake and all the research that goes with it. We'll email you back a copy of what I'm talking about. And if you're just tuning in, I'm Dr. Jack Stockwell at jackstockwell.com, a regular here on the Good Day Health Show with Doug for well more than a decade. And what I'm giving so far, and I think I'm all the way up through number 50, is 124 ways that sugar can ruin your health. And along with the 124 ways, I also have 124 list of medical research papers behind every one of these claims. And again, as I said a few moments ago, if you contact orders at forbiddendoctor.com, I'll be more than happy to send you a copy of this, along with the research that supports every one of these points. I will, before the end of the show, easily get through the 124, so I will go back through and cherry-pick a few of them in particular and explain the mechanism behind it, that sugar causes so many problems. Number 50, sugar can cause cardiovascular disease. Sugar can impair the structure of DNA. Sugar can change the structure of protein, especially when they're cooked at the same time together. Sugar can make our skin age by changing the structure of collagen that's in the skin. Sugar can cause cataracts. Sugar can cause emphysema. Sugar can cause atherosclerosis, which is the plugging up of the bloodstream. Sugar can promote an elevation of low-density lipoproteins, the LDL. We don't want the LDL high. High sugar intake can impair the physiological homeostasis of many systems in the body. Homeostasis just means balance. Everything in the body should be balanced, digestive system, immune system, elimination system, all these different things. That homeostasis means balance. Sugar can impair and make it difficult for the body to balance the systems. Sugar lowers the enzymes that are ability of the enzyme to function. Sugar intake is higher in people with Parkinson's disease. Sugar can cause a permanent altering of the way the proteins act in the body. Sugar can increase the size of the liver by making liver cells divide. Sugar can increase the amount of liver fat. We know that fatty liver disease usually comes from, is associated with high alcohol intake. But a third of the population, at least in America, that suffer from fatty liver disease do not drink. And it's usually the sugar that's the culprit. Sugar can increase the size of the kidneys and produce pathological changes in the kidney. Sugar can damage the pancreas. Sugar can increase the body's fluid retention. And sugar is enemy number one of the bowel movement. Sugar can cause myopia, which is nearsightedness. Sugar can compromise the lining of the capillaries. Sugar can make the tendons more brittle. Sugar can cause headaches, including migraine. Sugar plays a role in pancreatic cancer in women. Sugar can adversely affect school children's grades and cause learning disorders. Sugar can cause an increase in the delta, alpha, and theta brain waves. Sugar can cause depression. Sugar increases the risk of gastric cancer, meaning the digestive system, especially the stomach and the duodenum. Sugar can cause dyspepsia, which is, you know, the fancy word for indigestion. Sugar can increase your risk of getting gout. Sugar can increase the levels of glucose tolerance test over the ingestion of complex carbohydrates. Sugar can increase the insulin response in humans consuming high sugar diets compared to a low sugar diet. And a highly refined sugar diet reduces the ability to learn. Sugar can cause less effective functioning of two blood proteins, albumin and lipoproteins, which can reduce the body's ability to handle fat and cholesterol, and then, of course, leading to obesity. Sugar can contribute to Alzheimer's disease. Sugar can cause platelet adhesiveness, where the platelets get sticky in the blood and agglomerate before they should, in the sense of clotting. Sugar can cause hormonal imbalances, and some hormones become underactive, and others become overactive. Sugar can lead to the formation of kidney stones. Sugar can lead to the hypothalamus becoming highly sensitive to a large variety of stimuli. Sugar can lead to dizziness. Diets high in sugar can cause free radicals and oxidative stress inside the body. High sucrose diets of subjects with peripheral vascular disease significantly increases platelet adhesion. Once again, the clotting problem. High sugar diets can lead to biliary tract cancer, the gallbladder. Sugar feeds cancer. In fact, sugar is the number one food for cancer. Cancer only lives on sugar. Sugar is such a simple chemical complex, and cancer cells are very primitive that they can't eat what the rest of the cells of the body eat, so they eat sugar. And there is plenty of cancer research that simply says you want to stop the cancer growth, stop all sugar. High sugar consumption in pregnant adolescents is associated with a twofold increased risk for delivering small for gestational age infants. Well, I need to spend a little bit more time with that one for sure. We're going to come up to a break here shortly, but I want you to know I'm giving you 124 ways in which sugar can wreck the health of a human being. And we have several more to go through here in just a few moments. I'm Dr. Jack Stockwell.
I am Robert Strickler. My wife Joyce and I have been married for 53 years. Certainly one of the really important things in my life are our children and our grandchildren. I am essentially a writer. I've been involved in communications in the media. I've been an avid fly fisherman for at least 40 or more years. I've been taking Prevagen on a regular basis for at least 8 years. For me, the greatest benefit over the years has been that Prevagen seems to help me recall things and also think more clearly, have a crisper ability to remember and think through things. And I enthusiastically recommend Prevagen. It has helped me an awful lot.
Prevagen, healthier brain, better life. Robert Strickler is a content contributor for Prevagen and real user. Based on a clinical study of subgroups of individuals who are cognitively normal or mildly impaired, this product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
I'm Dr. Jack Stockwell at ForbiddenDoctor.com. Again, I'm not the Forbidden Doctor. It is a title that we came up with because we are referring to that doctor that's inside your body, that's in your DNA, it's in your chromosomes. And it's in all of the processes of the body that heal and rebuild itself on a regular basis. And we use the term forbidden because the medical industry forbids you to know about it. They don't want you to know that this healing power exists inside the body. They want you to believe that if you're sick, you can only be healed through the use of drugs or some kind of therapy, when food is absolutely the best medicine on the planet. So that's where Forbidden Doctor comes from. I'm certainly not the Forbidden Doctor. So the last one I mentioned before the break was that high sugar consumption in pregnant adolescents is associated with an increased risk for delivering undersized babies. Interesting. High sugar consumption can lead to a substantial decrease in gestation duration among pregnant adolescents. The study was focusing on pregnant adolescents, not necessarily more mature women during gestation, but younger ladies who probably haven't even finished the development of growth hormone in their own body and now have babies with growth hormone floating through the bloodstream of both of them and with a high sugar diet have a hard time going a full 9 months. And of course, it's the baby that suffers as a result. Sugar slows down the food's travel time through the gastrointestinal tract. Sugar can increase the concentration of bile acids in the stool and the bacterial enzymes in the colon, which can also modify bile to produce cancer-causing compounds and lead to colon cancer. Sugar increases estradiol, which of course is the most potent form of naturally occurring estrogen in men. And you see the tremendous, almost epidemic ED that is going on in men at in their late 20s and early 30s. And just the total indifference that men in the peak of what would be considered their sexual virility would rather go fishing. And when we look into this and we look into their diets, especially with patients I take care of with this, sugar is a prominent role. It's in their drinks. It's in their energy drinks. It's in their the foods that they eat in the middle of the day. So that's another thing to keep in mind. And maybe I can talk more about that before the program's over. If you're just tuning in again, I just wanted to mention to you, I'm listing, as we go into the new year, something that you might want to think about is 124 ways in which sugar wrecks the health. And I have 124 well-noted research papers to back up every one of these claims. And I'll be more than happy to make these available to you, but you'll have to contact the office, and you would not, I can't mail it to you, but I'll send it to you as an email. Just go to orders@forbiddendoctor.com and just say, I heard Dr. Jack on the Good Day Health Show talk about how sugar wrecks the health. I would like that list. And we'd be more than happy to forward it to you. Sugar can be a risk factor of gallbladder cancer. Sugar is an addictive substance. We know that. And sugar can be intoxicating, very similar to alcohol. Sugar can also exacerbate PMS, premenstrual syndrome. And sugar that is given to premature babies can affect the amount of carbon dioxide that they produce, leading to other conditions, certainly not the least of which would be considered COPD. I'm Dr. Jack Stockwell at ForbiddenDoctor.com. A decrease in sugar intake can actually increase emotional stability. Now, this is the first one I've told you that actually talks about decreasing sugar in your diet. And I have research behind that to support that claim. The body changes sugar into 2 to 5 times more fat in the bloodstream than it does starch. I want to repeat that. That's important. The body changes sugar into 2 to 5 times more fat in the bloodstream than it does starch. Starch are long chains of sugar. And you get starch from mostly, hopefully from Mother Nature, from the root vegetables and things like that. But when the sugar is processed into the white powder and we consume that, and we talk about it having empty calories, yeah, it's empty calories. I mean, there's no nutrition behind it. But it is so volatile inside the digestive system, your body will immediately change that into fat as fast as it can. If it doesn't need it, it will change it to fat. The rapid absorption of sugar promotes excessive food intake in obese subjects. Why? Because it leads to greater hunger. If the more an obese person eats sugar, the less they're eating of what they should eat, which leads to greater hunger, the hidden hunger, the deep hunger. And they eat, it leads to more consumption of food. Sugar can worsen the symptoms of children with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Sugar adversely affects urinary electrolyte composition. Sugar can slow down the ability of the adrenal glands to function. Sugar has the potential of inducing abnormal metabolic processes in a normal, healthy individual to promote chronic degenerative diseases. IVs, intravenous feedings of sugar water, can cut off oxygen to the brain. High sucrose intake can be an important risk factor in lung cancer. And again, I want to remind you, every one of these has scientific research behind it that I'll include with the list. Sugar increases the risk of polio. Interestingly enough, high sugar intake can cause epileptic seizures. Sugar causes high blood pressure in obese people. In intensive care units, limiting sugar saves lives. Sugar may induce cell death. Sugar can impair the physiological homeostasis of many symptoms. Sugar may impair the physiological homeostasis of many systems in living organisms. In juvenile rehabilitation camps, when children were put on a low-sugar diet, there was a 44% drop in antisocial behavior. Sugar can cause gastric cancer. Sugar dehydrates newborns. Sugar can cause gum disease. Sugar increases estradiol in young men as well as middle-aged men and older men. And number 124, sugar can cause low birth weight babies. Now, I have 124 sources for those 124 claims that I just made. You know, the things like this. This is Sanchez in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, published 1973. The role of sugar in human neutrophilic phagocytosis. Neutrophils are part of your immune system. Phagocytosis is where the immune system just chomps up like Pac-Man and eats up all the bad guys. And it slows down. The body, there's a test in the hospital called the phagocytic test. And I think I've talked about this on the show in the past. The phagocytic test is where they take a sample of your blood and they put it in a little dish and they introduce to this your living blood in this dish bacteria. And they want to watch how fast your white blood cells recognize and go after the bacteria. And there's a certain time limit that's involved with this. Then what they do is they give you, you ingest, you swallow about 200 cc's of glucose, just pure sugar water. And they wait about 30 minutes and they take another sample of your blood. And they introduce the same bacteria to it and they begin to see how long it takes now for your immune system to respond to it. And it's very much slower. It slows down quite a bit. Then they give you another couple of hundred cc's of glucose. Wait another 30 minutes, take another sample of blood. And what happens, as you might figure out here, your immune system gets more and more sluggish every single time to where the population of bacteria begins to grow. So sugar has a definite effect on the buildup of infectious disease inside the body. Another study here from Progressive Food and Nutrition Science, published in 1933, Nutritional Implications of the Interaction of Minerals. In other words, they found out that the body's ability to absorb and process minerals, which our body is based on, is seriously impeded by the presence of sugar in the diet. They knew this in 1933. I mean, this is nothing new. Behavioral Effects of Sucrose on Preschool Children, Journal of Abnormal Child Psychology, 1986. And the list goes on and on and on and on. And the reason that I'm mentioning some of the older studies here, and I'm looking through my list of 1986, 1975, is because they've known this for quite some time now, the terrible effects of sugar. But the sugar industry is extremely powerful and has tremendous influence on the United States Department of Agriculture, has tremendous influence with the government agencies that regulate health, the FDA, the CDC, things like this. And so they just kind of, and then also the sugar industry contributes tremendous amounts of money to the reelection campaigns of the government officials in the House and in the Senate. And so what you have is a bought and paid for government, as you well know, in many industries, but certainly in the sugar industry. And so I want to go through a few of these points because I know I went through them rather rapidly, but I want to go through a couple of them and explain why that effect that I've just told you makes a difference. Now, sugar, people who have high sugar diet have a significant rise in triglycerides. And whenever you get a blood panel done, you know, you want to know the HDL and the LDL and the cholesterol and the triglycerides. And the triglycerides are simply the protein sugar structures that build up in the bloodstream. And high triglycerides can lead to, if not cause, heart disease. And the reason that sugar in your diet increases the fat in the blood is for a very simple chemical reason. Sugar has within its molecule oxygen. Fat has no oxygen in the molecule. And the only way you can release the energy that's in a fat molecule is by oxidizing it. So you have to get oxygen from another source. This takes place in the liver to oxidize that fat to release the energy from it. But when you have sugar flowing through the bloodstream, glucose, along with the fat, that glucose has oxygen inside of it. And it's easier to break down the energy in sugar than it is to get the energy out of fat. And when your body needs energy, it's going to take the easiest route. All nature is based on that. And that's why sugar in your diet can lead to high fat in the bloodstream. It's that simple. Another one here, sugar leads to chromium deficiency. Chromium is absolutely necessary for your body ability to handle sugar, to produce insulin. And when we have a lot of sugar in the diet, it tends towards insulin sensitivity, which simply means your body doesn't recognize it anymore, or at least it begins to recognize it less and less. The more you have high insulin in the bloodstream as a result of sugar intake, and it's not just you had sugar here or there. It's that we seem to have sugar all day long in our modern day diet. Our breakfast is loaded with sugar. There's sugar in the orange juice. There's sugar in the toast. There's sugar in the bagel. There's sugar in the cereal. There's sugar in the milk. Whatever we have. My breakfast is bacon and eggs, or a piece of beef and eggs, or a piece of fish in eggs. Seriously, there's no sugar there. And then we have a mid-morning snack at work or around the home or something like that, or a soft drink or some chocolate-covered peanuts or some candy bar or something to keep us going. Because when our diet is based on sugar, we have the highs and the lows and the highs and the lows. And when we get that low, we need some more sugar. And the lunch, the sugar in the lunch, sugar in the afternoon snack, sugar around dinner time. And I don't mean candy bars and ice cream and cake and cookies. I mean all the hidden sugar, especially that's involved with processed grains and the breads. And so that causes a regular, ongoing, high increase of insulin in the bloodstream. This has always been a bugaboo with me when people get blood tests, especially if they're suspected of diabetes type 2 or some kind of pre-diabetic condition. And they'll bring me their blood test, and it shows the fats and it shows the sugars, but it doesn't show insulin. And I tell them ahead of time, you need to get an insulin count. When you get that blood test to determine if you're a candidate for diabetes, and I hate using that term, but that's the medical term, I have to know whether or not you have high insulin. Because if you have high blood sugar and you have high insulin, and it's insulin that gets the sugar out of the blood into the cells. So if you have these two competing chemicals in the bloodstream, something's very wrong. And what's very wrong is that the cells simply are not recognizing the presence of insulin anymore. So you have a high buildup of sugar in the bloodstream, and that's only going to be diagnosed one way. Oh, I'm sorry. You have diabetes. We're going to have to put you on insulin, or we're going to have to put you on one of these other drugs that kicks your pancreas until your pancreas completely just burns out like kicking a dead horse. I have podcasts on this subject at ForbiddenDoctor.com. Just put in diabetes. There's three search bars at ForbiddenDoctor.com. Go into the one that says podcasts and put in diabetes. And I can go into it to a greater degree than I have time to get into it on this show. Again, I am giving you 124 reasons why sugar is detrimental to the health of the human body. There's a book out there, I don't know if it's still in print, it might be, called Sugar Blues. And it goes back to research of almost 100 years ago. And why they have known for a long, long time how dangerous sugar is to the human system. Now, I'm not talking about sugar in the sense of like if you were chewing sugar cane or you were chewing something Mother Nature made that had sugar in it. I'm talking about concentrated sugars, the sweeteners that they add to everything is where the real danger comes in. Well, after the coming break, I'm going to be talking and joining again with Doug Steffen to finish out the week's show. And as usual, we have a lot of time walking over each other. You can hear all of the Good Day Health Show podcasts that I have done, along with Ken Kronaus at gooddayhealthshow.com. Over 600 podcasts. In fact, it's probably getting close to 700. And you can listen to my podcast at ForbiddenDoctor.com.
Doctor, in this case, it's Dr. Jack Stockwell who's here. Dr. Jack is a Nuka chiropractor. He practices with his wife in a clinic they have in Salt Lake City. She and he are both GAPS practitioners, so they are experts in what's going on in your body, most notably in your gut. So I have some questions as people try to stay healthy during the holiday season. I consider you to be a health and wellness educator, frankly, among the many things that you do. You've been at this for a long time, and you're very prominent there, but also here. Very good standards, strong standards. And so I had a conversation with somebody who sounded just like you, talking about vitamin D and how much we need and how we need digestive enzymes. This guy said to me, you need flax oil, you need digestive enzymes, and you need vitamin D in order to stay healthy. I thought that was pretty good advice. Are there other things that we probably could add to that? But if you're worried about the flu and COVID and stuff, is that a good prescription?
Oh, yeah, certainly it is. Certainly it is. There's certain neurotransmitters, and there's certain hormones that are involved with the healing mechanism inside your white blood cell messaging. Mm-hmm. That are dependent on very, very good fats, the kind of fats you find in the oil you just mentioned.
Yeah.
And then the vitamin D, we always hear about how much we need vitamin D, but they never really talk about why you need vitamin D. Mm-hmm. Your body cannot absorb calcium in the gut, dietary calcium, without the presence of vitamin D.
So why would that
be so
important?
Because your immune system relies so much on the presence of calcium.
Ah, okay. So that's why it would be on your list of cold and flu fighting nutrients, because
absolutely,
it is, calcium is so important for your respiratory system to stay healthy. I got it. Okay. All right. Well, that's good.
Yeah,
that's
your
good
body, calcium is like the gun, and vitamin C is the bullets. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have calcium and you don't have vitamin C, you're kind of dead in the water.
Got it.
So that's why both of those things are so important.
So important. There's a new study out that finds that natural hair loss supplements may actually work. I wondered about this. Do people come into your clinic and ever ask you about how do they keep their hair? How do I get mm-hmm. my hair back again? Mm-hmm. Can you eat things that will be good?
Flaxseed oil is excellent for hair loss. Yeah.
Ah. All right.
We have a protocol we use because it helps to restore the health of the follicles in the scalp,
mm-hmm.
especially for women. Anytime. A lot of times I'll be taking care of a woman for the first time postmenopausal, and when I'm working on them, I can see the hair thinning on their head. So I talk to them about that. It takes about 4 to 6 months. But within about a half a year, they can have a new head of hair.
So what are the things that cause women, are there supplements that women take or men that cause them to lose their hair? And would it be the same? Because you see sometimes women who work out a lot, maybe is it the sweating? Why would people who work out a lot
That's
lose
an excellent
hair?
Question. Excellent question, Doug, because a lot of times people think all you got to do is just start working out again. But when you start working out, you're going to sweat. And when you sweat, you lose minerals.
Mm-hmm.
And so half of being healthy isn't just cardio or resistance training or jogging or anything. The other half is to make sure that you have a nutrient-dense diet. Because it's one thing to exercise the heart. It's another thing to feed the heart, to feed the follicles, to feed the liver, to feed the kidneys. And they have to have special types of foods that go back to our ancestral diet that our great-grandparents were eating before there was any cancer, before there was any heart disease, before there was any arthritis, before there was any diabetes. They ate whole foods, foods that Mother Nature made. Yep. When our food source now is the grocery store, mm-hmm. and I mean Not the produce department or the meat department. I mean the stuff that's in the center of the supermarket. Right. I call it the dead zone. If it's in a box, a bag, or a can, you are going to be malnourished, and it's going to show.
All of those things that are added in to make this stuff last a lot longer.
That makes it even worse. Yeah, that makes it worse.
Right. Yep. All the preservatives are death. They are, I mean, I was talking earlier about fruitcakes and the stuff that gets put into fruitcakes. There's a fruitcake around. Jay and I were talking about a fruitcake that's been around for like 180 years or something. And it's
well, they never make
form.
New ones. They just keep passing around the old ones.
Passing around. That's it. All right, there it is, the word from the wise. So it's great business time for Calitrin. I would think the phones would be ringing off the hook and people would be ordering ad nauseum.
That's right. You know, it'll be 25 years this April, and we've been helping customers lose weight safely and effectively for 25 years. So if you need to lose the weight, you've really got to check it out on our website, toploss.com, because like Doug said, it's so much more than just a weight loss product. I mean, we're not talking about a quick fix fad product. There are no drugs. There are no stimulants. Our number one ingredient is collagen protein. It's got types 1 and 3. That's for the muscle and the joints.
All right, and don't forget the 99 special right now. Use the DJV code for free shipping as well. DJV code at toploss.com and the Get Fit contest. That sounds like it would be kind of fun. Calitrin at toploss.com. Thanks to Elizabeth Miller here, one of the great Calitrin consultants at toploss.com. It's the Good Day Health Podcast with Dr. Jack Stockwell, sponsored in part by Calitrin, the safe, proven way to lose weight and keep it off, and brought to you also by Prevagen, really good for your mind.